Welcome back to the short on mental health integration, the mini course. I am Brandon. In the last section, we talked about the man and the woman and how they had inherent value, and then how that value was fractured when sin entered the world, and how things were broken, how mental illness may have entered the world through the breaking of everything as sin entered. In this section, we're going to talk about this question of why integration. What does that mean? What does that have to deal with anything? Let's start there. Why integration? Integration is putting two things together. In this case, it is the integration between faith and mental health. It's how our faith and mental health encounter each other, and how they merge together, and how they change and inform each other. In this case, a lot of times we talk about a hermeneutical spiral. That is where our experience informs how we read the Bible, informs our experience, informs how we read the Bible. So in this case, we can see that this integration can be really important. Now, there's a really important reason for that, which is because you need to do integrative work if you experience disintegration. When we started a nonprofit to work with faith and mental health, one of the things that we saw is disintegration among how people saw themselves and how people saw God. It looked something like this. Three terms we heard over and over again. First, I will never be who I was. We constantly saw people who had been in positions of power or authority who were no longer in those positions of power and authority, who had felt really, really capable and suddenly were not very capable, who had been doing amazing things and now were not capable of doing those amazing things. And the reaction to that was to say, I will never be who I was. I was a somebody, I'm no longer a somebody. It's almost like we're looking at Genesis 1 and 2 and then Genesis 3. I was somebody, and now I'm not somebody. Something entered the world that broke me. This was after they had experienced mental illness. The people that we were talking to had mental illness. They ranged from homeless drug addicts to CEOs of multi-million dollar companies, from agnostics to pastors. They were all over the spectrum, but universally they said, I don't get to be who I was again. The second thing that they said over and over is, I'm not good enough anymore. They had felt like they were good enough. Maybe they were before. They could perform for God. They could do all these things for God. They could lead Bible studies. They could lead churches. They could do the things that they felt connected them. But now they felt like they weren't enough. They weren't valuable enough. They weren't worthy enough because they couldn't perform anymore. Their capacity had been linked to their value. And now that their capacity was diminished, their value was diminished. Over and over, in every case we saw, I still remember sitting with the pastor who sat to me and said, who am I anymore? I'm not worthy. I'm not good anymore. I can't do this stuff anymore. The third thing that we saw was that how could God let me go through this? He cannot still love me. And in some cases, this even had a worse side to it. God can't love me and let me go through this. Sometimes even God must actively hate me to let me go through this. This idea that if God loves his kids, he's not going to put them through hell like this. Why on earth would this happen to me? And over and over and over, we saw these same questions. So we had to ask, what is missing? Because this wasn't just about dealing with mental health issues. This was about dealing with faith in the midst of mental health and how their faith had been destroyed and blown apart by their own mental illness. What does a mental health struggle actually cost? It had cost everything. There were no longer answers to really simple questions that some of us have answers to, and some of us may have just known the answers to as far as like just understood them. But we could still answer and that still not be in conflict with our own experience. Questions like, who am I? Am I somebody that matters? Does God actually like me? Am I worthy of love and belonging? Can I do things? Who is God? Is God in favor of me? Does God like me? Does God want to be with me? Does God love me? And what am I capable of? Is the life where I was capable and I defined myself with my capacity all gone? Or is there still hope? When we ran into people who over and over and over were asking these questions, we had to ask, what is going on with all of this and how can we make a difference? This is the why behind mental health integration, because suddenly these questions of faith didn't have answers anymore, because mental health had absolutely blown them apart. So we had to go back to the drawing board and ask, okay, well, what does it mean to be human? What does it mean for God to like you? What does it mean to be valuable? Are these things that change, or are these things that are just gone forever? Is it right that somebody says, I'm not worthy anymore? The answer is no, it's not. But we have to do some serious work in understanding how people think about their own value and worth and how they think about God in order to understand how we can move forward through this. In the case of most of these questions, we had the opportunities to walk with these people for an extended period of time. And many of them, through coaching and discipleship work, came out the other side and said, I am good and valuable and worthy. My life matters. I can make a difference. But in the midst of their journeys, when we met them, they weren't even close to these answers or questions. I will see you in the next section.